ready. Ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee and strap yourself in.
If you listen, I can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
We're excited to be here tonight with Pastor Rose Betancourt of Miracle Valley Today Church. They're right there at Miracle Valley Ground Zero. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing great. We've got this hour together, and we'll turn it over to you now. Would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yes. Father, I just thank you for all the people that are listening in today, that whatever they hear, Lord God, they would just not hear it with their natural ears, but Father, that it would be revelation to their spiritual ears so that they can take what they hear today and apply it to their lives, and Father, that they will become people and that are champions for the kingdom of God. And Father, I thank you for that. Someone needs to hear a word from you today. And Father, I pray that they would have hearing ears in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Welcome back, my friend. Over to you.
Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about, I want to teach you how to have the mentality of flying like an eagle. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. Amen. As a child of God, everything about your journey is connected to your tomorrow. A believer doesn't live just for today. He has to have a vision for tomorrow. And Romans 8:18, it says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's futuristic. He's talking about the sufferings of today. It's not worthy. It's not worth it. It's nothing compared to our vision of tomorrow. So if you don't have eyes for tomorrow, your present suffering can destroy you. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaks expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In the end, many shall depart from the faith because their present suffering will blind them and stop them from seeing their future. The word says, without a vision, the people perish. Without something in front of them to see about their future, they will wander aimlessly. And God does not want you to wander aimlessly. He wants you to have a purposeful life. He wants you to have something bigger and better in front of you. The Bible says to resist the devil, and he will flee. Why is he fleeing? Because he knows you have seen the future. He's fleeing because he knows you got the vision. And so it says joy comes in the morning, and every morning that comes, Satan's depression is increasing because of your future. And resisting the devil means you have resisted and refused to sell out, and because you were weary. The Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, because in a due season, a future season, you're going to get your manifestation. The Bible says, don't be weary, because the manifestation is out there. Don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season, if you faint not, you're going to reap that manifestation. Okay, so they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. It says, you shall renew your strength. It doesn't say God will renew your strength. So a believer has a way that they receive strength from God. But many people don't understand what it means to wait on God. Some people think it means being at a standstill. Some people think it means being in limbo. Well, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I'm just here, Lord. Do what you want. Just do what you want. No, no, there's no such thing as do what you want. God has a set agenda for you. He's already told you you're above and not beneath. He said you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are holy. You are set apart. And every place your foot will tread, I will give it to you. You just don't wait in limbo. Some of you are saying, I'm getting old. My strength is wearing out. I'm sick in my body. I've lost my job. I lost my spouse. So many people in my family have died. I've been hemmed in on all sides. I've been betrayed. You're mourning. 1 year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, 20 years later, you're still mourning. Today you need to make a decision to move. You've got to get up and move. And if you can look up, you can get up. Amen? So if you're mourning, mourn and move. Do it at the same time. Do something in faith. Faith requires corresponding action. So you're going to say something. You're going to speak words, but you're going to move. You might cry, but you're going to move. You're going to mourn and move. And by faith, God will bring you out of that valley. The reason why your strength is lost and you don't have the ability for tomorrow and you don't have the ability to mount up your wings is because you don't understand that for every season and every age, an eagle matures. The old feathers have to be taken out, and the new feathers have to take their place for a different flight. A different and a brand new flight. The old flight will not do. You can't navigate under the old flight. You had different energy and you were in a different place back then. But this is a new day, okay? And the Bible says He will renew your youth. To renew your youth is your choice. It's not God's choice. You might think you're old physically, you're aging, but guess what? God says you're able to renew your strength and your youth. It is available for you. God made it available, but it's for you to understand that, well, my old wings could only fly this far, so these wings need to be plucked out in order for the new wings to take its place. We're not getting any younger. Time is ticking. So I said, God, at this time in our life, I remember Moses was 80 when he began his ministry because he wasn't ready. God was busy for 40 years at the backside of the desert and him taking care of the sheep. God was preparing him. He was plucking out his old feathers for his new destiny. So I look through the internet, I go on YouTube, and I wanted to inspire myself for a further journey, a tomorrow journey. And I would find people that were 65, 75, 85, 95, and over 100 doing exercise, increasing the skills in their body. And one lady, Ernestine Shepherd, I believe her name is, she's got to be like 87, and she was in the Guinness World Book of Record because she decided at 65, I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to renew my youth. And she went and with her sister and her started eating better, started doing exercise, and she's got muscles, muscle mass and abs like you would not believe. So all things are possible. You have to put a vision in front of you. So anyway, there was another couple that I know. They had a hotel that they were running, and the hotel was in sort of a remote area, and it was small, and they just made enough money to pay their bills and just keep things floating. And one day, someone told him, if you can, you will never increase your tomorrow. He said, you need to go where the vision is bigger and take in the vision. So they went to this humongous fancy hotel, kind of like a Donald Trump hotel. And they began to look around and see these marble floors and the gold, the enlaced gold, and the plants and the floral and the beautiful rooms, humongous. They began to take the vision in. And they began to get a vision within themselves. And they eventually, they got out of the old place and they began to rebuild. And they got themselves a nice big hotel that God increased them, their finances. They've been blessing people. And so you need to put a vision in front of you, whether you need to change something with your body, your soul, to renew your mind, get that word in there. Invade your mind with the word of God. So when the devil comes and he starts trying to poke you and make a bid for your thoughts first thing in the morning, you have access to the word of God, and you can begin to speak the word and speak yourself out of those negative thoughts. The Bible says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle's. The eagle has the ability to renew its youth. It doesn't mean that it hasn't been aging, but it has the ability to tell its old strength, there's another creature that has the ability to appear new. Did you hear that? This old creature, it has the ability to tell its old strength, there's another creature that has the ability to appear new. Now, there's an oppositional creature. There's an oppositional creature. It's called a snake. The snake will go into a season where he takes off his skin and he comes out new. But the difference is he's still on the ground. An eagle might be grounded on a mountaintop for a season, but the time will come when he'll take flight again. And it doesn't matter how many times the devil changes his skin, he is still on the ground. So how do you renew your strength? The Bible says by waiting on the Lord. To wait means to remain. There are times when you used to have work and everything you touched was working. You seemed like things were going great. And there came a time where what you used to do suddenly no longer worked. And now you're bumping into the wall and nothing seems to be working. You're fasting, you're praying, and you're doing everything. And you're still trying what you used to do, but it ain't working. Lord, I know I'm anointed. I pray for others and they succeed. You pray for yourself and nothing's working. Crickets. Crickets. That is a reminder that you've been soaring at a certain level and that God wants you to soar at a higher level. It's an indication. It's time to get rid of the old feathers. You can't soar higher with an old ability. You can't soar higher with an old anointing. You can't soar higher with an old way of thinking, with an old strategy or an old operation. Remember, eagles don't fly, they soar. There's a difference between soaring and flying. Many birds fly, but only one is raised supreme in the air, soaring without any effort at all. God, I'm prophesied today, God is lifting you to a new dimension. But the process of renewal means you have to accept being grounded when God calls you down from the sky. God will not tell you to come down. You should start noticing, well, my feathers are not what they used to be. It's time for me to come down and strip myself of the old feathers. Many of you are still praying and thinking like 1965, 1940, 1950. But we're in 2024. And you wonder why you're praying for tent revivals and it's not coming. I remember the days of Smith Wigglesworth. Those days are gone. Jesus did great works and he said, greater works than these shall you do. So greater and better days should come for me and you. Why do we have to go to the past when God says, behold, I am doing a new thing? Many of you are still admiring the old feathers, so you're not plucking in order for new ones to grow. You don't want to go through the process. Many of you notice your feathers are worn out, but you didn't notice that your flight is not the way it used to be. You have just enough energy to make it to Mount Zion. You have just enough energy to make it to Mount Zion and let God strip you of the old. Because, you know, eagles don't nest in trees like regular birds. They nest in mountains. For you are come to Mount Zion. Your place of residence, your nest, is in the presence of Almighty God, in a place where no devils can come and take you out. You are hidden. You know, it says the name of the Lord is a strong and a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. In Psalm 91, it says, they that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a safe place. When it says he said, you know, they that wait on the Lord, waiting means you remain there. Okay, he that dwelleth is your address. Dwelleth is a place you live. The Bible says you will go in and out and find green pastures. So whether you find yourself in your prayer closet or you're walking out your front door, going to your job, going to your meetings, whatever you're doing, your pasture is green because he makes you lie down in green pastures. Everything is green when you know God Almighty and you know his presence. Amen? Because your place is in the secret place of the Most High. It says you come to Mount Zion. That's your residence. Chickens. I want to talk about chickens. Chickens live in a pen. They do not have an upward vision. They're always looking down for the food. They're waiting for someone else to bring them the food. So when the food comes, there's a thing called pecking order. And the bigger and the stronger ones usually get first dibs on the food. And the other ones are in back of the line. And some of them grow weaker because they never get the food. They depend on someone to take care of them. And in the end, they are prey to every man because they become a roasted chicken on somebody's table. Whereas the eagle, now the eagle, he's flying above. He is prey to nobody. He can go anywhere in the vast expanse, look on planet Earth, and get his own food. He has the ability to feed himself. Amen? So that's the difference between a chicken and an eagle. An eagle takes himself to the high point where he's grounded for a time, for a season. He chooses the high point because it's where he reigns when he's above. And from that place, he can see what's coming. He can see the storms. He can avoid the storms. He can escape what's ever happening down below. The Bible says what? Seek the things that are above, where Christ sits at that right hand of God. It says you are already seated in heavenly places. You're not operating from a place down in the low ground. You are operating from a place in the heavenlies above and not beneath. So this eagle chooses the high point. He can see what's coming. He chooses a strategic position where he can see what's happening. It's a place that's safe enough where he can take off the old feathers. And you know how an eagle takes off his old feathers? He throws himself against the rocks. And he beats himself against the rocks. And as painful as it is, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory. The pain of that moment, he knows what's ahead of him. He's aware of his tomorrow. He's got a vision for a higher flight. So he knows he is safe in the above arena. And even though he may not be able to fly for a while, he can still see everything. Some of you, your feathers got worn out and you rested on a tree. Yet you should be upon a mountain where your feathers begin to fall off because they're old. Some of you, your feathers are old and worn, but you decided, I just want to stay where I feel comfortable. You're letting fear stop you from the higher place. You're an eagle, but you're on that tree, and a chicken passes by and he insults you, and you think you're a chicken. A turkey passes by, and you get upset. You want to fight the turkey, and yet you're an eagle. You're an eagle. This day, God will remove you from the tree and from the ground and plant you from where you are to the mountaintop, where he can work on you and make you better and cause you to fly higher. So we're talking about God renewing your strength. So how would he do that? He increases your appetite. When that eagle is on the mountaintop and he's already shed his old feathers, he starts growing his new feathers and his appetite begins to increase to a point where suddenly he can take flight again and go get his food. He can fill himself with strength. Energy is only received when you consume something that's nutritious. If your nutrition fails, your abilities fail. Every athlete knows that your food is your fuel. And most of the reasons why we suffer physically, 100%, is because of our diets. It's because of our diets. And isn't it crazy? It's strategic that they're pumping our chemicals in our food. But because we know God and we come from the higher place, we will live and not die. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And in Psalm 103, he says, "Who satisfies my mouth with good things." So that's where my strength is renewed like the eagle. Okay? When you've plucked out your feathers, don't pray for the old feathers. Don't talk about the old feathers. Don't fill your mouth with the old feathers. You need to fill your mouth with good things. Because the old feathers, the old way is not going to work for the new level. It's not going to work for the new dimension. How long do you want to stay stagnant? How long do you want to stay grounded? How long do you want to stay beneath and just make it from day to day? And some of you are actually asking for life preservers all the time. That is not God's best for you. I want to turn to Mark 11:23 and 24. Um, In Mark chapter 11, it talks about that there was a fig tree, okay? It says in verse 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventime was come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if perhaps he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Interesting that it says, for the time of the figs was not yet. So people always say, well, why would Jesus go to a fig tree and the season was not yet and get mad at it because it doesn't have any figs? And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee thereof forever after. And his disciples heard it. Okay? And then it says in verse 20, skipping all the other stuff, this is the fig tree. Now it's a new morning. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus said unto him, have faith in God. What was the big thing here? It wasn't that this tree in the future couldn't bear fruit. It wasn't the time for fruit. This was a classroom experience for the disciples about faith. How do you know that? Because the next verse, he begins in 23, says, and verily, verily, you saw that. You saw what I did. It was a tree like any other fig tree. But verily I say to you that whosoever should say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The word say is there three times. Jesus was trying to indicate to his disciples, have faith in God. I spoke words to that tree. My words created something that caused that tree to wither. You have the same ability to speak, not just to a tree, but to a big mountain, and believe in your heart and not doubt what you say, because your breath is created in the image of God. And when God spoke, he created the earth. He created an atmosphere. And when you speak, you are breathing out the words of God. You're carrying the breath of God, and life and death is in the power of your tongue. This is so powerful. You're speak to things. You need to speak to things that are speaking to you. You need to fill your mouth with good things. You need to fill your mouth with good things. And things are talking to you. The atmosphere and people and voices, circumstances are talking to you. They're showing you something. They're saying something. And before you know it, you find your mind in a negative place, because you listened to what was around you. And instead of speaking to the mountains and saying something, they're saying something to you. You need to start talking to your stuff. You need to talk to your body and tell it how it's going to be. You need to talk to your mind and tell it what it's supposed to think. You need to talk to your circumstance, to your kids around you, to your family, to your marriage. You need to speak into the atmosphere and create an atmosphere for a miraculous change. You have the ability. That's what Jesus was trying to say in this passage of Scripture. you know, you can never go to a place your mind has never been before. And if your mind's in the gutter, guess where you're staying? So it's up to you to speak. You need to say something. You need to cast down vain imaginations. If the thoughts in your mind are contrary to the Word of God, if you don't cast them down, then they will eventually become a stronghold. Did you know that? That means they will control how you think. And if they control how you think, they'll control how you talk. And if they control how you talk, they'll control how you act. You might be thinking, how in the world am I going to pay off all these bills? It seems like every time I turn around, I'm getting sick again. My marriage is falling apart. And you're thinking about this all the time, day in and day out. It's going to become a stronghold. Don't allow these things to control your thinking. You have got to cast them down. You say, well, how do I do that? You can't cast thoughts down by another thought. Did you know that? You have to cast thoughts down by speaking to them. You need to cast those thoughts down. You need to tell your thoughts, thoughts. You might say things like, in the name of Jesus, I cast down that negative thought about my marriage, about my money, about my situation. I refuse to loan my mind to my adversary, the devil. I refuse to allow him to take control of my mind. And I cast out every negative imagination that exalting itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to think on the Word of God. Hallelujah. If your prayer and your word life and the things you speak and pray about does not exceed your battle life, you will experience continuous defeat by the enemy. You guys have got to get off of the defense and get on the offense. You've got to get off of that tree and let God take you to Mount Zion, where he can transform you into a better and a stronger creature for the next level. Every place you have a journey is a place because you decided to go there. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow. Amen. And when you're grounded and you let God deal with you, God will begin to feed you what you need to have. And he can't feed you until you stay put. He said, be still and know that I am God. You can't know his ways. You can't speak his ways. You can't do his ways until you sit still and you remain and you let him do his work in you. Some of you are grounded, but you're refusing to pluck out your feathers. God's not going to pluck out your feathers. You got to pluck out your feathers so that your youth and your strength is renewed. There's a scripture that talks about God helping us with groanings that cannot be uttered. When you speak in tongues, this is you're putting out words. Speaking in tongues, you're uttering mysteries. You're uttering mysteries. You're speaking into the future concerning your problems, but you don't know what you're saying. You're uttering mysteries. Mysteries from above. And you think, well, how am I going to make it? It's already been established how you're going to make it. It was established before the foundation of the world. Long time ago, God already knew you would be here. And you're then suddenly when you have this understanding and you get a vision inside of you and you begin to speak things, you begin to look at the house you're living in. Huh, you said, this house I'm living in is too small. I need a bigger place. So you go get a vision for a bigger place. I need a bigger place for my family. This room, this is too small to accommodate the harvest. So you begin to declare bigger things into existence. And you begin to get a vision. And when your mouth is satisfied, you begin to boast in God. Do you know what boasting is? Boasting is actually the prophetic. It's actually the prophetic. You are prophesying to your atmosphere. When you're at your high point, you see God removing your enemies, and he will prepare a table before you in the presence of those enemies, the people that betrayed you, rejected you, said they love you, and then they abandoned you. But you stuck it out, and you went to the high point, and now God, you got the favor of God upon you. And suddenly, the enemies that were surrounding you and crowding you out, God removes them. And when you're at your high point, you already know your suspect. Who's been waiting for you and planning against you? When you're at your high point, you can see who's gossiping about me. They are snakes pretending to be eagles. But now you see who they really are, and you're about to go and get new divine connections. You have to choose to be elevated. You have to choose this. God's not going to do this for you. Why does God speak about your mouth being satisfied? Because when God delivers something inside of you, the factory of creation begins to create a manifestation. If you get a house without the house coming from within you, your vision, the enemy can destroy it. But if it comes from within inside of you, a God vision, that also means you'll carry the power to protect it and to guard it and to even expand it. That's powerful. The Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. You can't live and move and have your being and ignore God and expect the fullness of everything he has for you. You can't live and move and have your being unless you are in him. You are in his presence. Some of your prayers are so small. Well, if I could just get through tomorrow, if I could just pay my bills this month, Father God. If I could just not feel this pain today, God. Did you notice that most of these prayers are not based on the future? They're based on the right now. You don't even have the capacity of faith to carry the manifestation. So God is never going to give you something that you don't have superiority over. Because if God gives you something and you lack the ability to manage it, that thing will rule over you and God will lose you. And God has decided not to lose you. Nay, nay, devil, not today, not on my shift. Your mouth is the factory of the future. God reveals your future to you and you speak it out according to that future. In your moment of being grounded, it's a moment that you need to start speaking. It's not your moment to be silent. When you're soaring in the sky, you're simply walking into the manifestation of what has already been ordained for your life. You're no longer talk the vision. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2, the vision shall speak. The manifestation of what's going to happen in your future, you will no longer have to speak it out. You're no longer up on that mountaintop speaking it out. Now there's a manifestation. Now the vision is talking. People see it. It's saying something to the people around you. You don't have to speak it. Now it's the vision shall speak. And when you're in the factory of God, everybody thinks you're wasting time. Nobody can see what God's doing with you. The problem is you start listening to chickens and turkeys. You have to stop listening to chickens and turkeys. When they don't fly, they remain on the ground. Chickens and turkeys, when they're not flying, they're on the ground. And they're nothing like an eagle. And even the birds that fly will never fly to the magnitude that you fly. You will always see further and greater than any creature that dominates the air. So you need to stop comparing yourself to the chickens and the turkeys. You're comparing yourself to people who don't have the ability to fly where you're going to fly. They're flying much lower than you, and some of you are hanging out with people who are flying much lower than you. And the calling that's in your life, some of you know the calling in your life. Some of you are prophets, and you're not letting God train you to the prophetic. You're not letting God deal with you on the mountaintop, in the secret place, uttering mysteries, calling out your future. You're not allowing God to take you to that place. I don't care if you're laying in bed and your legs can't walk anymore. You can start speaking out some stuff. You can start speaking to your atmosphere and to your legs. And some of you say, well, I've been doing that now for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But did you allow God to take you to the mountaintop? And did you wait on him? Or did you just spend a few minutes and then get weary and turn on the TV? Or call somebody on the phone who can't validate you because they're not even valid. You only validate parking tickets, okay? So your speech has to be according to what is to come. Not according to what's happening right now. Many believers are driven by what? Right now. They're driven by the right now. Everything is about right now. And when you make a mistake, everybody will judge you for what? Right now. And they'll forget about all of your goodness. All the good stuff you did, they'll forget about it. There are people that will judge you on the basis of your battles. They will take you down and you'll walk away condemned. God said there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And you need to find divine connections that are not going to judge you on the basis of your battles, but they are going to walk with you through your battles. And their attitude is, I went down in this valley with you in the battle, and I'm not coming out without you, because that's what Jesus would do. As soon as some people see skeletons in your closet, I don't care if you've been a big name minister or whatever, but it's you gave people so much of the word. But people saw the skeletons, and all of a sudden, you forgot the hard times you went through. The message that they spoke that pulled you through, and the times that you were broken and you listened to them and you got lifted. But all of a sudden, they're bad. Everything is bad. Do you know why this is? This is because the church has become full of chickens. Instead of eagles, they don't know how to separate the flesh from the spirit. This is the flesh. This is the spirit. They don't know how to overlook the flesh to see the spirit and to see what God has done and what he's doing. They have no discernment. They don't use the discernment. Hypocrites, you have failed to become an eagle and you remain a chicken. You don't see clearly. You have limited vision. The prophetic is coming back to the church. The Lord, he speaks to Samuel, a little boy, and he doesn't speak to Eli. But if Samuel would have undermined Eli, he would have never heard from God. The man that God rejected had the keys to make him hear from God. You don't know who God is going to use to allow you to see a vision for your future. The problem is the newest is fighting the old, and the old is resisting the new. The new has to humble themselves before the old, and the old has to embrace the new so that they can fly higher than they did before. But there's a conflict because the church has a vision of chickens and not the vision of eagles. An eagle doesn't have to fight for space because he knows the sky is the limit. and he can and he can fit everybody there. Chickens and turkeys, they fight for the right now. Eagles have gone beyond that point. They're up there in that dimension, and we can all fly in a sky that's so big, and we will never collide. Amen? You don't reject a mother or father because they made mistakes. You don't denounce your kids because they messed up. If you're one body, you don't cut off the affected area. You treat it. You love it. You treat it. If you cut off a hand, what are you going to use to help you for tomorrow? I pray for the spirit of visions, the spirit of the prophetic to come upon you, that you can see again, that you can see who God created you to be. Some of you are talking about your problems. You're magnifying your problems instead of talking about your God and how big he is. Some of you have, I remember when I felt encamped about with, hemmed in on all sides, pressured. And I felt like I was being squeezed. And I'm in there, and I feel like life is running out of me. And God began to speak to me. He said, you are operating out of the wrong place. You are operating from beneath and not above. You're operating from a realm that will suck you right under, and you will be walking in the defeat of that realm. He said to me, I have already given you the authority to step on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And I told you nothing by any means can hurt you. So whose report are you going to believe? You've already been given the authority. You are an eagle. You operate from above. So God said, get out from under those boxes and get up on top. Get up on top and begin to speak something into your atmosphere that's going to change your circumstance. So I got up and God said, this is who you really are. Some of you do not know who you really are. You're letting voices of the past behind a door that says no trespassing tell you who you are, how far you can go, how big you can be, what you can have and what you cannot have, what kind of ministry you can do and how little it can be or how big it can be. You're listening to voices. You're watching stuff around you. And the stuff is talking to you. And God is saying, you need to get out of that and you need to speak to those mountains. You stand above it. Jesus went walking on the water. The ocean and the seas are a big place of just a bunch of liquid that'll take you under. Anybody who dares to think they can get dropped off in the middle of the sea and survive are totally mistaken. But here's Jesus. He's like, oh, there's a little bit of a storm over there. There's my bros. I'm going to go walk out on the water. I'm going to walk over to them. Another lesson in faith. What does he do? He walks on the water. Those guys are scared. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. What do we do now? It's a ghost. It's Jesus probably smiling and go, oh, these guys are probably freaking out. He walks over there and Peter is the only one. You know, I always say, it's better to be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. You're still mourning. You're still sitting in that boat. You're still waiting for something to come and deliver you and save you from that vast ocean. But Peter decided, Master, if that's you, then bid me to come out and walk on that water. Jesus said, oh, I like that attitude. Come on, Peter. Come on, Peter. Walk out. Meet me out here in the middle of all this. Peter started walking on the water. But he began to get distracted. He took his eyes off Jesus. And he began to look at the storm. Some of you are looking at storms because you're in a tree. You're in a tree and the storm is coming and it's blowing you out of the tree. You fall out of the tree. The storm eventually stops and you're crippled and you're like, oh, I just can't get up. And God is telling you, and he's trying to get you a voice that's telling you, rise up. Because if you can look up, you can get up. And when you get up, I want to take you to the mountaintop where I can fix your life and make you better than you ever were before. God wants to do that for some of you today, but you've decided that you're just going to stay. There's a lot of people that are getting older, and they're sitting in apartments by themselves. They're sitting in homes by themselves. They're in care centers alone and feeling abandoned. And they're born again, spirit-filled Christians. It's time for you to start talking to your old feathers. You have to go now because I'm about to renew my strength. I'm about to become better because I'm wiser now. You are never too old. God said, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, that the devil has ripped you off when you didn't know any better. Moses was 80. I said, well, Lord, why did it take him so long to get into his ministry? He didn't know any better. He was not prepared. He wasn't mature enough. God had to take him to that mountaintop, and literally to the mountaintop. Take off your shoes, for the ground is holy ground. Amen. And God had often taken him to the mountaintop, just like an eagle, to speak to him, to give him a word, to bring to the people deliverance, freedom, faith. Let's not look behind us. Let's look to tomorrow. Let's get a vision of the future. Let's part the Red Sea and not look at what the Pharaoh did. Let's not look what the enemy has done to beat you down, but get a vision for tomorrow. And let God satisfy your mouth with good things. Those good things, the manifestation of the power and his presence in your life. And most Christians, what are they doing? They're sitting in trees waiting for someone to deliver them, when God said, you got to pluck your feathers out. You got to speak to the mountain. You've got to say something to change the atmosphere around you. Everything is possible with God. With man, no way. But the longer you hang out in this realm, and the longer you hang out with people who are holding you with a chain around your neck, even family members. Jesus even said right out, there isn't anyone who hasn't left their mother, their father, their brothers, their sister, for my name's sake, will not receive 100-fold. Or doesn't hate those for my name's sake. They're not worthy of the kingdom. He's not saying emotionally hate them. He's saying, if you love them more than you love me, then you're not worthy of the higher heights. You're not worthy of the supernatural. So whose report are you going to believe today? There is no condemnation. You got to get out of your mourning state, and you need to begin to move, because in him you live and move and have your being. You're not doing this in your own strength, because it's not by might or power, but you need today to pray for the grace of God to enable you to have the capacity to fly to higher heights, to let him deal with you in the secret place and strip you of your old nature, your old ways, your anger, your addictions, your words, your condemnation, that the words that you speak that condemn you, those are not words from God. Any voice that condemns you. It's not the voice of God. There's somebody today who is listening to me, and the enemy has lied to you. And you, the Lord says, you are harder on yourself than he is on you. He is not condemning you. He is not putting you under. He's about to change your dimension. He's about to take you out of the place you are into a new place. And today you must agree with God. You must agree with his word. He's going to satisfy your mouth with good things. So your strength is about to be renewed like an eagle. Don't be weary now in this season. Don't be weary, because your season is coming, that you are not fainting, but you are about to reap the manifestation of what God has called you to be on planet Earth. And you are going to put the world behind you that you created, the broken world, the broken you, and God is about to transform you into something greater. I don't care if you're 70, 80, or 90. God is about to renew your strength and your youth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. What a powerful word today. I'm going to tell you, this was good. All of them have been home runs. I'll tell you, some of the greatest teaching I've heard is with Pastor Rose Betancourt right here from Miracle Valley Today Church, Miracle Valley, Arizona. What would you like to put on the program today for a title?
We're going to call it Fly Like an Eagle.
I love it. Sister Rose, tell people how they can make contact with you in the ministry.
Okay, you can reach us on Facebook, Miracle Valley Today. Miracle Valley Today. You can also email us, miraclevalleytoday@yahoo.org, or you can call 520-224-8520, and you can speak to us. We get people that call us all the time, people that were associated with the Allen Ministry. I hear Brother Shannon talking about Ground Zero. Right here, there are people who have been a part of this ministry, and they're having faith for the future. So you can call us and talk to us, and if you have a need, we'll pray with you. And also, we have miraclevalleytoday.org, which is our webpage. So that's how you can get a hold of us.
Also, I want to encourage people to support the ministry of Sister Rose and Brother Lou Betancourt. I've got the info here. PayPal, you can support them by using miraclevalleytoday@yahoo.com. Also, they have Cash App. That's $cash. MVT, Mike Victor Tango, Caps. I'll put it in the notes for this program. Sister Rose, look at your schedule. Get me the next date you got available, and let's get you on soon. I'm looking forward to it.
Amen. Praise God.
By the way, I understand you have a birthday coming up. I just want to say to you, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. I'm renewing my youth. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, I think you're reading my mail on this program tonight. Boy, I received tonight's word, and I hope you all do too, folks. I'll get this up in about an hour. Please share it with everybody you can. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless you. I'm telling you, those are some of the greatest teachings I've ever heard. And I hope that you will share this with everybody you can tonight. Okay. We're going to get our next guest on. We've got a first-time speaker coming up. Her name is Cheryl Evenhouse. So let me do this. I'm going to save this program. We'll be right back. Stand by.